complex.
DPS.
Go.
Inco.
Go.
PUS.
Go.
Surgeon.
Go.
Booster.
Go.
Copy that. We have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Sound Podcast. Chris Jordan coming to you from Austin, Texas. Right here in the HC Universal Network studios. Our last show, we had a great time being out at the Texas Association of Broadcasters. We always love going out there, talking to the vendors, seeing all the new tech. It was fantastic. It was fun. Cannot wait to have some of those guys back on the show to get into more detail about other new things. In addition to that, our new guest, who we are having on today, is a returning guest. We have had Alicia Maples on before. She is the owner of Brilliant SMB, and she is putting on a master's class right now that we will be discussing today about credibility that converts. And, you know, it may sound like a salesy thing, but we have to remember, as freelancers, as people in this industry of AV, we are only as good as our last gig. Our credibility is only as good as our last gig and our last client. And sometimes, like our topic today, we have to be ready to fire a client. You know, it's a hard thing to do. And sometimes, you know, much like sometimes we have to bite the bullet and say, like, hey, client, so sorry, let me refund you some money. What can we do to make this right? I'm sorry that my subcontractor failed. I'm sorry that this happened on site. I'm sorry that the piece of gear blew up when house power got blown up, you know, what have you. But sometimes that client is just somebody that spins the wheels so much that literally the compound amount of effort that goes into it is not worth the outcome. And that's some of what we're going to be getting into. That is some of what she gets into in her amazing masterclass, Credibility That Converts, that you can go sign up for at brilliantsmb.com. We will be talking to the amazing TED Talk speaker, Alicia Maples, today on this show, right after we get back from these messages. Speaking of which, if you're like me and you're an anxiety sufferer, my doctor here in Texas actually recommend that I start using CBD. And it was shortly after that that, as a traveling AV technician, I began going around to places all over the country, dispensaries, everything else, to find the best stuff that I possibly could. And when I finally found True Hemp Science here in Austin, Texas, I found Christopher over the owner at a farmer's market here in town. And I was like, yeah, I'll give your stuff a shot. It was amazing. This is literally the product that sold me on daily use of CBD. It was the only CBD oil I found that actively contained terpenes. It's the only CBD I've found out of all of them, even Chong's Choice, all kinds of stuff, folks, that actively uses the whole plant. This is a whole plant process that they use, full spectrum CBG and CBD that comes out of it. They use the bud, the stem, the seed, the leaf, the root, everything to make this product. Fantastic stuff. Stop on by. TrueHempScience.com is the website. The code is TALKING7. With that code, you will get 7% off your entire basket of $50 or more, and get two edibles of 25 milligrams each. And they're big edibles. The cookies are like the size of my hand. So stop on by, check that out. The website, once again, is TrueHempScience.com. The code that you want to use is TALKING7. While you were online checking that out, please do make sure to stop on by our other sponsor as well, Podcast Cadet. Let's bring that up real quick and hear about them. Have you considered starting a podcast? Looking for a way to make your business a voice of authority in an industry? Then Podcast Cadet is the solution for you. Whether starting a podcast for yourself, your brand, business, school, church, or just plain fun, Podcast Cadet is here to help you navigate the waters of the podcast industry. Specializing in one-on-one consultation and training with industry professionals in fields ranging from podcast technology and editing to distribution, monetization, and even social media strategies, Podcast Cadet tailors their services to the specific needs of you and your podcast. Do you already have a podcast and trying to find ways to engage and grow your audience? Sign up for your Podcast Cadet audit today and let us help you explore new and exciting ways to leverage your content and elevate your podcast brand to whole new levels. From consultational workshops to affordable podcast production and maintenance packages, Podcast Cadet is your one-stop shop for everything podcast-related on the internet. Visit PodcastCadet.com today to sign up for your consultation or training and use code TALKING20 to save 20% off your entire purchase. That website again is PodcastCadet.com. That's right, folks. And while you're online checking out PodcastCadet.com, full disclosure, I am one of the founders of PodcastCadet.com. While you're online checking that out, make sure to stop on by our guest website. BrilliantSMB.com is the website that you can go to sign up for the Credibility That Converts website. Coming up so very soon, how are you today, Miss Alicia Maples? How have you been?
Mr. Christopher Jordan, I'm great. So happy to be on the show with you today.
I'm happy to have you back on. We met each other, I guess it was a couple years ago now. It was shortly before the whole kerfuffle in the world of COVID that we met at a Texas podcasting event. And you were a speaker, I was a panelist, and we got to know each other over breaks and things like that. And I had you on the show for the first time to talk about learning to value yourself as a freelancer. I think a lot of freelancers, unfortunately, have the mentality of charging less money in the effort to try to get more work. And that doesn't necessarily always pan out to being the most quality work or the most sustainable work. And that was a lot of what we talked about. And when I heard you saying that you were doing this masterclass and, over at Brilliant SMB, I was like, man, I've got to have you back on again. Because this topic of firing clients, oh, my sweet baby Jesus, Alicia, it's something that it's a scary topic. It's a scary, scary topic for a lot of freelancers, for a lot of business owners, to say no, and no with capital letters. Like, sometimes I hate saying the words, but not no, but hell no.
Yeah.
And sometimes even saying that to a client that you've had for a long, long time.
That's the hardest.
It is, because you try as a contractor, as a vendor, and specifically as a freelancer, to cultivate a long-term relationship with somebody. And it can be hard whenever you're cultivating that relationship and not beyond the point of cultivating and even to the point of maintaining a relationship to say no.
Well, you're right. And honestly, so let's think of it this way, just to your point about this being a difficult thing. And I understand that it's 100% counterintuitive. Alicia, how do you build wealth by firing a client? And we'll talk about that. But to your point about why it's so difficult is the most expensive part of running your business is oftentimes the cost of customer acquisition. And when I say cost, in fact, I'm not just talking about money, Christopher. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about energy. Yeah. And so, yeah, once you actually have landed a client, it's the future sales that you have, the future transactions that you have with that client. That's really where the profit is. But what do you do when you discover that this client that you worked so hard to get isn't serving you? and isn't serving where you need to go in your business. And, and even worse, is distracting you from serving your ideal clients better, deeper, stronger, and for more money. That's where the firing your client comes in.
Well, and let's really start kind of dismantling that and breaking down the circuitry of that, so to speak, because there's much like getting into any relationship with the opposite sex or even getting into a friendship with somebody, even a coworker outside of the workplace, you know, there are red flags that pop up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's get into that first, because I think that being able to honestly recognize those, despite any pandemic, despite any shortage of work, being able to still honestly recognize those red flags and being honest with yourself and going, nope, I think is really, really important.
I agree with you, Christopher. And what we do oftentimes, like you'll hear all of the experts say, identify your ideal client, identify your niche, identify your target market. And all of that is wise business advice, particularly for freelancers. But that's only half of the equation. The other half is you need to identify your non-ideal client. I call it green flags and red flags. What are the green flags that make you say, yes, this is somebody that I want to work with? But what are the red flags that make you say, this client is not going to be worth the time and energy and money I invest? And potentially, because we're also talking a little bit about credibility, this client could leave me a bad review. And detrimental online reviews and testimonials have a massive negative effect on your business, which we can get into some statistics and some things like that in a minute if you'd like. But you've really got to take the time to understand what is a client that you serve well. What are their qualities and their characteristics? It's not usually their resume. It's not usually their demographics. It's their behaviors, right, that make a good client different from bad client. And just to be clear, when I say bad client, I'm not saying they're bad people. I'm just saying they're not the right client for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, it may be the fact that you have hit a point in your career that you just don't have the time to devote to that kind of client. And I, you know, I recently ran up against a situation like that all of a couple days ago, Alicia, where I had somebody that I do work for. You know, they contact me on behalf of other people and say, hey, can you go do this? And I tentatively said yes. I was like, I'm available those dates, but I need a lot more information. And it was a long show, like 7 days long, you know.
Wow.
Would be nice to get that work on a day rate, you know, even, and hey, here locally. But it was things like, hey, it's been numerous days now, and like 5 days since we talked about this, and it's coming up in about a week and a half. We have not confirmed dates. We have not confirmed rates. You have not told me if the event's outside, what the scope of the event entails and what the scope of my duties on site are. And when I still got no response to that, that's when I said no.
Like that for, you. Massive
that for me was, and hey, you know me, we know each other online. We know each other personally. Like, you know, I have not had a lot of road gigs in a hot ticket minute because of all this stuff in the world. But that doesn't mean that I should take 5 steps back in my career and go back to the point of going in blind to a situation and being willing to risk my reputation and what I do. And like you said, a negative review online or anything like that.
Super, super wise. Because let's face it, anybody who has been in business for themselves long enough will be able to agree with this statement. There are some clients that no matter how much they pay you, they are just not worth it. And I would hazard to say, and you may have some people in your audience that disagree with this, if you can't say that, then one of two things is happening. Either you have done an incredible job at pre-qualifying who you work with, or you just haven't been in business long enough to have that experience.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's definitely one of those after it's taken me a long time to hone that skill of being able to have that demand of, if you don't have that level of communication going on, I can't do that. I just know my own neuroses as a human being. Mm-hmm. And like, just my quality of life will suffer from getting involved with something like that, where I have no answers until the day I walk onto site, you know, and walk in just blind. I don't enjoy those gigs. I don't think I perform well in them. You know, I can do it, but you're not going to get the best possible thing out of me. I can't pre-plan things if I don't know what equipment I'm using. Stuff like that, you know?
That's so perfect. And what you've described, Christopher, is this is the preventative medicine. This is what people need to do when they first start in business. This is what people need to do if they have established businesses, is this, which is understanding the green flags and the red flags, and have a pre-qualification system that helps you understand whether or not this client is going to be good for you. What we're also talking about is, what do you do when you have a base of clients, some are great and some are not, and you need to fire them?
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you have a base of numerous clients that you might need to get rid of. You know, granted, my way of doing that has, I guess, always been to open the opportunity for them to up game.
Uh-huh.
If you can do this, we can continue to work together. And that'll normally mean like meeting a greater day rate, meeting a few other things, you know, something like that, that will make that expenditure of effort on the front end worth the effort on the back end. But it's pretty rare that's the situation with me, I've come to find. Most of the times I just prefer to be done with something and not worry about it.
Right.
But it can be hard, especially when, once again, as a freelancer, especially as an audio engineer and video engineer and like house editor, you know, you get very attached to the projects that you work. You get very attached to those clients that you've groomed and worked with. Like, I belong to a lot of, as you know, podcast communities online, as well as quite a few freelance communities, specifically audio and video freelance communities. And it's a question that I hear from people all the time. Like, how do I get to a point of convincing my clients that what I'm doing is worth this money?
Wow.
You know, and typically my response is, you probably need to reconsider the clients you're working with. If it's a fight to get the rate that you're trying to get, you know, right. you might be fishing in the wrong pond with the wrong bait.
There are several brilliant things that you're saying there. So one is, and we can get into the mechanics, but first I'd like to kind of give your audience a little bit of strategy.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the mechanics around firing somebody, you've hit on something super important. It's always better when the client can deselect themselves. And so there are some tips and tricks, and you actually just brought one of them up, and I promise your audience, we didn't talk about this beforehand. But yes, you brought one of those methodologies up, which is to help the client deselect themselves, because that's always the better choice rather than you actually saying, hey, I'm not going to work with you anymore.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. And to the other point you raised about having to convince somebody, at the end, we can talk some more about credibility that converts in online testimonials and authority, because if you have that going for you, that is going to help you tremendously. I can't wait to talk to you about that. But first, what I want to say is the process of this whole build your wealth by firing your client. The first step that you need to take, and you especially freelancers need to take, is what I call client segmentation. So generally, most folks have three different categories of clients. All right. So you've got your A level, which are your all stars.
All right.
These are the ones that respect you, that are happy to pay you. You're not having to chase them down for payment.
Yep.
They want you for multiple things. You have the opportunity to work multiple gigs for them. They'll give you referrals. They're respectful of your time and your energy. All right. So those are your all stars, and those are the typical characteristics of your all stars. Then on the opposite side of the spectrum, you've got your C level clients, which I call your challenging clients, right? These are the ones typically, as you just said, you got to prove your worth. They tend to be extremely demanding. It's funny to me how these folks who also you have to hunt down for payment, or they're constantly asking for discounts, they're the ones that want the most and the most hand holding at the cheapest rate possible. Okay. So they're going to suck up your time and your energy. They also may have the characteristic of questioning you all the time. Instead of acknowledging that you're an authority in your field, they're going to challenge you and they're going to ask you questions. Are you sure this is where this should be placed? Are you sure that this is how we should do this? These are the characteristics of your challenging clients, the C's. The third category are your B-level clients, and this is just kind of the bucket where you're not really sure whether this is an A or a C, so let's just put them in there. And the idea with the B-level client is you want to evaluate, are they really challenging clients? If not, what behavior do they need to change to turn them into all-star clients? And that's what you do with the Bs.
Yeah.
But from a financial perspective, you know, depending on what your client portfolio looks like, let's say that you've got, and this would be typical, that 80% of your client base are the challenging folks and 20% are the all-stars. You don't want to just start wiping everybody out all at once, unless you are independently wealthy and you can take that kind of financial hit. I don't know too many freelancers who are in that position. So you want to be strategic about how you do this. So you do the client segmentation, and then you start looking at your challenging clients, your C-level clients, and you prioritize which of these are the ones that are taking up the most time and energy from me. And those are the ones you get rid of first, because this is where the building of wealth comes in. The less of those that you have, the more you are able to serve your all-stars, who are the ones that That's respect right. you and who are the ones that will pay you.
That's right.
You can offer additional services. You can offer additional programs. There's so much more that you can do for your all-stars if you weren't sucked up in your energy and time with the challenging folks.
Yeah.
So you take a look at your challenging clients, you prioritize them, and you develop a plan over time to get rid of those while you're simultaneously doing some upselling to your all-stars.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and, you know, For me, I worked in kitchens as a day job a lot, Alicia, during my life, while I ran sound at clubs at night. So for me, a lot of business, a lot of things like that come down to just sheer kitchen common sense. And it's one of those, whenever you go to walk in and work in a kitchen for the first time and you're like a prep chef working with somebody at a station, you find the dude with the clean station. Find the guy with the clean station, because he's the guy with a plan. He's not the dude who's in the frazzle and doesn't know left from right while he's in the thick of things and in the midst. You know, that's the chef that you want to work with, because at that point, your work shines to the boss. You know,
makes perfect sense.
Like,
yeah.
you're automatically setting yourself up for success because you're tying yourself to somebody that's already driven in that way. And like you were saying, to not have that lag of energy because you're having to sweep up after a client or you're having to chase after files for editing. You know, hey, it's Thursday. You know, I know you record on Tuesdays. You normally want an episode by Saturday. Just wondering if you have those files yet. Again, this week, for the third time this month, for the third month in a row. And that's what you have to consider, is that time and even that, even saying that right there, like my heart, I had to give myself a second to regather myself because my heart sank a little bit, Alicia, when I said it. Because I've been in that situation so many times, so many times after 20 years of being a freelancer, you know, and it's so hard and heart wrenching that it still hurts me to say, because sometimes I still end up there, you know. Go ahead.
What I was going to add to that, Christopher, is because people need money, and I understand that, and that's
you
the
gotta
biggest
eat.
Pushback.
You got it.
Exactly. That's the biggest pushback I get on this concept is, okay, Alicia, that's great, but how am I going to pay the bills? I was talking to a new client about 3 weeks ago. I want to say 3 or 4 weeks ago. And he was completely resistant to this idea. So if your audience is in that space here, I want to give the same suggestion to you and your audience that I gave to my new client.
Oh, please. I know so many freelancers in that space right now. Right now.
All right.
Please give it.
Here we go. I asked him to look at his receipts and figure out how much he got paid by this client, because his resistance was, but this is a paycheck. This client is a paycheck. So I had him look at his receipts to see how much he got paid for the year. Okay. So that was step one. So he did it with me on the phone. This was August that we had the conversation. He'd been working with this client all year, 8 months. He'd been paid $500.
Wow.
All right.
Wow.
Then we took it a step further because that's bad, right? Then I just asked him, I want you to guesstimate how many hours you have spent working for this client. And when he had the division, he was getting paid pennies per hour.
Oh, yeah.
And Christopher, I didn't have to say anything else at that point because he saw the numbers. And it was no longer, I can't fire this guy because he's a paycheck. It was, dadgummit, I could go work at Dairy Queen and make more money than what
I was just about that. My words always are, I could go say welcome to Walmart and make more money.
Exactly. And so.
And walk away with no responsibilities at the end of the day.
That's right.
Just go home and drink beer and got nothing else to do.
Exactly. And so for those of you who are saying, but this is a paycheck, I really encourage you, do some quick and dirty math on it.
Yeah, do bar math.
And see.
Your gig bar math on it, guys. How many beers would it be at the end of the night? That's $75. That's Like, that's barely even a healthy bar tab.
You got it. So that's my answer to that. And again, let's just say that you are getting paid a healthy amount of money to work with this particular pain in the rear or pains in the rear. Then you don't wipe them all out at once. You're strategic about it. You prioritize, you take time, let them go, and then you focus on the upsells with your all-stars. So once you've done that, you've prioritized, you've made the decision. All right, I'm going to let these people go. Then it's the mechanics of how do you do it? How do you fire a client? Because it's an uncomfortable conversation to have. So should we get into that next?
Yeah, let's get into that. And then I have another question for you. So related to the AB clients and even C clients, but let's talk about shelling and burning the chaff before we start getting to the wheat and making a loaf. All right, let's do that. Let's get rid of the chaff first.
All right. So the first thing I want to say is that when you are ending a relationship with a client, you always want to treat them with dignity and respect, because they may not be an ideal client for you, but they may know people who are. And if you burn them to the ground in how you end the relationship, you're not going to get any referrals. And again, you could get bad online reviews. All right. Yep. So as much as they have driven you crazy, as much as maybe they have screwed you over, you are not going to do the same thing, because that is bad for your business. You're going to treat them with dignity and respect. So the first thing that I suggest, this is all the work that I do with my clients. I really hope that your audience is getting value from this.
This is huge.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. All right. It's seeding. So you're not going to drop the bomb all at once. You're going to say, hey, Christopher, I just wanted to give you a heads up that I am making some changes in my business. I'm restructuring my business model and how I'm working with people. Once I get all the details ironed out, I will be in touch with you so that we can see what that means for how we're going to work together in the future. And that's it. You don't say anything else. The client has questions. Your answer is, I don't have all the details yet. I'm not going to reveal anything until I get all the details worked out. So you
I
have
don't even planned- work with you, and I just got the chills, Alicia. Just listening to that, I got the chills. That is amazing. Right. So keep going.
Okay. All right. So what you've done is you planted the seed, and the client knows, oh, something's getting ready to change. I don't know what it is. Because to our brains, from a neuroscience perspective, change actually registers in the brain as physical pain.
Yep.
All right. So you're seeding it. You come back, I don't know, 10, 14 days later and say, hey, Christopher, now here's what's important. You need to identify the behavior in this client that has made you say, I'm finished. All right. So let's just say with you and with me, Christopher, it's been non-payment. All right.
Okay.
So we'll use that as an example. So I'm going to say to you 10 to 14 days later, hey, Christopher, it's Alicia. Good to talk to you. Remember a couple of weeks ago that I told you that I was making some changes in my business and I was changing the way that I'm working with people? And you're going to say yes.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say, well, what I have decided to do is to limit the number of clients that I'm working with so that I can serve them better, so that I can give them more attention. And what that means is, for somebody to be one of my clients, I am requiring, moving forward, 75% of the payment up front, and then the remaining 25% before the gig starts. As an example.
Yep.
If that is something that you are okay with, then I will send over a contract and an application to you, and you can complete that, and I'll take a look at it, and we'll make a decision from there.
Yeah.
Now, if your major issue has been non-payment, you're going to listen to that, and you're going to deselect yourself. Like, it's become an issue for you where you're saying, well, yeah, internally, I'm not doing that. And that's exactly what you want. You want the client to deselect themselves.
Yeah.
If it's an issue as what you brought up in terms of you need the scope written out, you need the details, you need the contract, that's what I would say. As I'm working with clients moving forward, the contract and the scope all have to be signed and have to be defined 14 days yep. before the gig, 21 days before the gig. That yep. is the only way that I am working with my clients moving forward. So you're setting your boundaries and you're allowing the client to deselect themselves. And that is the best way to end a relationship with a client.
Yeah, because at that point, the onus goes to them. It becomes incumbent upon them to choose whether or not to continue the business relationship on literally the terms that you've just set forward.
Exactly.
Like, and at the same time, if they don't answer yes, boy, howdy, that's the biggest red flag not to chase that hound dog down the tunnel mm-hmm. you could ever get.
Yep.
You know, because if they're not willing to work with you, especially knowing what you've delivered, you know, if the, like we said, this is the case of firing existing clients, people that are, quote, paychecks, as we said, and we got to do that quick math. Are they a paycheck? You know? It may be the fact that, yeah, you know, somebody who is $300-$400 a month for you is something that is sustainable for you as a business person. And that effort is sustainable for you. It all depends on the level of business that you're at, the level of contracting that you're at, and where you're at, personally and financially, you know? And I really think career-wise where you're at, because once you do hit a certain rung, there's things that you just pass on to other people. Like, I eventually got into literally booking labor for other people, you know?
That's great.
Because I contracted long enough that my contractors that I work for trust me with the decision in the field of who should be in charge of a room or be doing this or be doing that as a lead, that now they're like, well, if you got some guys, we'll definitely use them, you know? So even my business has gotten to a different realm, and it's hard sometimes to say no to a gig because, yeah, I might be able to put three or four guys to work, but at what cost?
Yeah.
At what cost to my time? At what cost to their time on site? You know, to their well-being, especially in this day and age, you know, if you're working in a field where that revolves around contact with people or anything like that, you know.
You nailed it, Christopher. And cost, let's just define cost for just a second.
Hey, let's just call it hazard pay to pay if you want to.
That's an excellent point. Know? I mean, cost used to be just money. But I define cost as money, as energy, and also time. I mean, you can, look, you can go spend money and I can do coaching with you and I'll give you 100 different ways to make more money. But once you spend your time, it's gone. You cannot get it back.
Yep.
And then you add on top of that what you just said, hazard pay, what you're being exposed to. People, that is the cost. That's the cost. It's
That's
not
right.
just the dollars that you shell out.
Yeah.
It's all of that together that you have to look at.
Well, yeah. And, you know, especially in the field that we're in, Alicia, in the world of pre-production, as it's called, you know, like, hey, I've got a show coming up in Irving next week. Pretty wash, rinse, repeat show. I've been doing the show for years. I still had to spend an hour on a call today with a group of people that I've been doing the show with for a hot ticket minute. But we're doing a show, and we're going to talk about logistics, and we're still going to spend that hour, and that's a billable hour, you know, because it was time that I spent on the gig, and that's just it. Once you come to the point, whenever I teach podcasting live with Podcast Cadet, I start off, you know, with the jazz hands exercise, and I tell people every single time I use the term time or money. I want to see jazz hands, and you will be surprised how many people are doing jazz hands like regularly, because it's time or it's money, or it's a combination of the two.
Right.
Time is money. Money is time. You know, like we bill by the hour, or we bill by the project, which is billed by a certain rate because of the number of hours we assume is going to happen. But any client who doesn't want to pay you for renting the spare space in your head with their project, you need to rethink that relationship.
Preach it. Yeah.
Because, yeah, literally that's what you're doing. When you're sitting on the couch and wiring a rack for a client in your head, while you're spending time with your wife, you're not spending time with your wife. You're cohabitating with your client, is what you're doing. And so is
that quotable.
And so is your spouse.
Put that up.
I will.
But I'm sorry to interrupt you. That's just
you
so
know,
good.
Like how many times do we do that? And I'm sure even you catch yourself doing it, Alicia, where it's like, whoa, wait a minute. I can't think about Chuck's problem right now. I'm with my husband. We're out having a steak.
Yep.
You know? Like, and when it comes to the point of somebody renting the spare space in your head because you're concerned about this, you're concerned about that, those are the clients that you need to pop onto that bottom list. When they're renting that much spare space in your head, unless it's like, man, I can't wait for the next show with them. You know, unless that is how they're renting the spare space in your head, you know, or like, man, what can I do to help them out? You know, what can I do to make their show better? Those are the clients that you want. And that's the question that I wanted to ask you that I knew that you would organically lead into with this, Alicia, is how do we, I mean, we've heard about how to fire the bad clients, how to find the chaff and strike the match. How do we really start swelling the grain of those C plus and B level clients to turn them into that A level bread that is sustainable paycheck, that is like, hey, we want you on the road 7 weeks a month, you know, that kind
of
stuff.
That's a good question. Yeah, because such a good question.
I think that that's where most people get stuck business-wise is like, the hesitation of, yes, standing firm and saying, like we said in our last episode, this is my corner and it costs this much to play on it, you know?
So the way that you do that is it's almost exactly the same conversation.
Okay.
But with something added. So you do the seating. Christopher, I'm making some changes to my business. And as soon as I get the details ironed out, I'm going to fill you in. And the different as well.
Yeah.
And then when you have the conversation, it's Christopher, look, what I am doing is I am taking on less clients so that I can serve them better, so that I can devote more time and energy to the ones that I actually choose. And Christopher, you've been a great client, but there are a couple of bugs that we have to work out. So here's what I need from you moving forward if we're going to continue to work together. And those things are A, B, and C. And I would love to continue working with you. I would love to have you be one of my limited number of clients. But you've got to decide if you're willing to step up to the plate and make these changes. If you are, I'm going to send you a contract and an application, and I'll take a look at it. If you're not, I understand, and I can refer you to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And with B clients, that conversation with the ads of, I would really enjoy continuing to work with you. I really want this relationship to continue. That is oftentimes enough to correct the behavior.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, once again, still the uncomfortable conversation. Still the same queasy moment for the client. And until you send the follow-up email later that's like, hey, you know, you're one of the people that I would love to continue to work with. What can we do to keep working together? And now, how much of this, like, because you brought up a term earlier, Alicia, neurolinguistics. And it's a term that a lot of people, I think, misunderstand and misinterpret, but let's get into real quick how you talk with a client, not to a client. Talk with a client, you know, and even things like that, where changing your terminology whenever you're and carefully crafting your terminology whenever you're speaking in emails, things like that, using terms like with, stuff like that, to show that even level playing field and the fact of you're trying to do this on a cooperative effort, you know, not to have anything over on somebody or anything like that. How much of this is learning to kind of change your mentality in that way?
Right. So just a little point of clarification. So
sure.
There is neurolinguistic programming, which is quite powerful. I have to say, I am not an expert in NLP, but I am a hobbyist in neuroscience as it applies to marketing and as it applies to sales.
Yep.
And so what you have touched on is Dr. David Rock is a neuroscientist from Australia. He's developed a whole body of research and actually an institute called Neuroleadership, which is the intersection of neuroscience and leadership. This is one of the things I love about your podcast, Christopher, is like it just goes into all different kinds of directions. So what Dr. Rock said, and this has been borne out by several studies, functional MRIs, is that one of the greatest emotional needs in a relationship is status. And status is how one perceives their importance in relationship to another person. And in this type of conversation, it's how much someone perceives their importance in relation to you.
Yeah.
So if you trigger the negative threat response the brain with regards to status, that also registers as physical pain. In some cases, depending on how you word things, and I had the opportunity to interview Dr. David Rock. It was just a phenomenal experience.
Oh, wow.
In some instances, the words that you use can register so strongly in the brain that subconsciously the person feels like their life is being threatened. All right. So
yeah.
You don't want to do that. What you want to do is you want to trigger the reward response in the brain by helping them feel more important than you. And when that response is triggered in the brain, it is the same exact response as when somebody wins the lottery.
Wow.
All right. So words like what you have said, like with, us, together, I would love to continue, those kinds of words, you are important to me.
Yeah.
You are one of my favorite clients. Those kinds of things that can elevate a person's perceived status will get you great results.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Oh, God. Yes. More than. Yeah, because I think a lot of people kind of unfortunately get trapped in a defeatist mentality and translate that defeatist mentality through what translates into almost like, at least in a client's view, almost to a begging because you didn't. Mm-hmm. I now have to beg for this because you weren't willing to do this, you know? And it's almost like you said, like that fight or flight response kicks in, and it's the fact of you've now backed them into a corner as opposed to giving them an opportunity.
Perfectly said.
And it really is just about choosing your words. It really is. And I'm fortunate enough to have gotten to the point in my career where I have, about aside from a few side things here and there, sustaining clients that keep me on the road and doing work and things like that regularly, I have about three clients that are my full-on income every year. Three companies that send me on the road so regularly that supports everything. I also supply labor and have side projects and have podcasts and all that kind of stuff because it's what I love and the industry that I love. And I love putting people to work in the industry. I have the connections to do it. So why not do it? It's how I can give back to my industry. And it's also the fact of me, I guess, teaching technicians that they should expect more. Some technicians, whenever they first come on board with me, are like, oh, wow, really? Whenever I tell them like their initial day rate to come work with me. And I'm like, yeah. They're like, but I've never worked with you. I'm like, I understand that. That doesn't mean you're not like that. What you're doing isn't worth that money. Like whether I've worked with you or not, that doesn't mean that you haven't been doing this for 10 years. And you don't deserve, like, the whole way I teach people to calculate their rate is when you come into a new town, find out the rate of your local stagehand. So it's $18 an hour. Okay. Now add $1 an hour for every year that you've been doing it. And that's a fair rate.
Can I pull a thread out of what you just said, Christopher,
before
we talk about credibility?
Yeah.
What I want your listeners to pick up on in what you just said is that there is a far bigger business game to be played than just one thing.
Yeah.
When you are freed up in your time, every person, I have yet to meet an entrepreneur, no matter what industry they're in, no matter whether it's a product based business or service based business, I have yet to meet an entrepreneur that doesn't have an additional something that they can market and sell. And you just listed three or four different things that you do. And I really want your audience to pay attention to that because this is where the wealth building comes in.
Yep.
Everybody who can hear my voice, please hear this. You have more, you are not just a one trick pony.
Yeah.
You have more things that you can market and sell, even if that other thing is your knowledge and your experience. There is someone out there who needs to know what you know, and you can sell that. But you can't sell it if you don't have time because your whole book of clients, your portfolio of clients, are these challenging people who are sucking you dry.
Yeah.
So listen to what Christopher said and understand there is a bigger picture and a bigger game than maybe what you're playing right now. Okay, yeah. I'll get off my soapbox.
Well, you know, and the examples I give people on my other podcast all the time are We're playing checkers, they're playing chess. We're playing 21, they're playing poker. We came to the table to play for about 4 or 5 hours and have some fun. They're hardcorers that are going to be there for 72 or 96 hours and just wear you down. And do you have the resilience to be in the game for 96 hours? Do you have the skill to be able to do something for so long? That the few clients that you maintain are what maintains you, right? You know, and that's just it. It's become such a bridge for so long. One of the companies is quite literally the company that brought me out of the world of rock and roll and working for churches and things like that and into the world of corporate AV. So that's how long I've been working with them. It doesn't seem like almost half my career. It's crazy to think about, Alicia, but it's true, you know. And there's a reason why when everything shook out, they called me up to see if I was still available. And I said, yes, because you're one of the few clients that I want to keep maintaining after all this. And it's great. It's nice, you know, to know that that bridge was so strong that they came back when the industry rebooted, you know, and they came to me looking for names of other people in local cities that had done the shows before and things like that. So that means a lot. And it took a long time to do that. But it also took a long time to learn to see those red flags raising this last week and to say no to the week of work that may have been on my table. I think come the cancellation email that I got, it seemed like it was many days fewer than the can you do it email. But still, to lose a few days can be hard sometimes, but it was a good relief when it was like, good. I don't have to worry about that because I saw those red flags a mile away. And it's so important, the advice that you gave today to recognizing those red flags, seeing those red flags, and learning to really let your client make the decision to leave. You know, and letting them make the decision to continue a relationship with you and empowering them in that way. You know, it really does kind of, like we were saying a while ago, using your words properly, you can really psychologically turn the tables on that uncomfortable situation.
Yeah.
Alicia, before we let you go, what would your one last piece of advice be for all the freelancers out there? You did such an amazing episode with us last time that we had you on. That will, of course, be linked in this episode. But for all those folks out there that have been going through the pandemic, been going through all of this like all of us have, and the industry that they're in has maybe just started to reboot. Maybe, you know, it's the fact, like I know with some servers in my family and things, they just left their industry because they could no longer be comfortable in their industry. And they've had to find something else, and they've had to kind of redefine themselves. And that can be hard to, once again, put your corner sign up and be like, this is my corner. So what advice would you give to the freelancers out there listening to this show about really getting foot out there and getting word out and doing things post-pandemic?
That's a tough time. I mean, it's a tough time. What I would say is, as many prospects as are out there who want a job done as cheaply as possible, there are also prospects that are looking for someone who has enough pride in their work to pay what you want to charge. there are prospects that are looking for quality and are willing to pay for it. They just need to be reassured that that's what they're going to get. Let the others take the leftovers, so to speak, but you stand behind your boundaries and there will be people that will respect that and want to work with you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I could not have said that better myself, Alicia, the fact that respect yourself enough and respect what you do enough to demand what you need to be right about what you do, you know. Thank you so much again for coming on the show, for sharing everything. I mean, and what's great is when you so humbly ask, I hope the audience is getting at something out of this. Like, quite literally, this was something that I have seen at so many corporate team building workshops, things like that, Alicia, where this is information that you typically pay to go get at a seminar, something like that. And
I charge a lot.
Well, even just you don't charge a lot. You provide an incredible amount for your value. There you go.
Thank you.
That's the psychological way that you want to put that. And it's always so great to see you on social media, see you putting your things out there, and the advice videos that you do, stuff like that. Before we let you go, it is your chance for shameless self-promotion. We have, of course, been popping the website up on screen during the show, but please do let everybody know where they can go right now to sign up for your Credibility That Converts webinar and masterclass, where they can go to follow you online to become a part of your social media guru fandom. Because, I mean, literally, awesome. The videos that you do, man, sometimes it's like a shot of B12 at the doctor for me career-wise, where it's like, good. Oh, thank God, man. Sometimes I think I'm literally just so mad in my head, Alicia, that it's like, only crazy people think this way. This can't be right. I can't.
We'll be crazy together.
Until the end of the world, hun. Because I've gotten to the point where I refuse to demand less. And like I've told those three, four companies that I work with, those companies have taught me to demand more, not only of myself, but of every client that comes to my door.
Awesome.
And if they don't meet their level, I want nothing to do with it. And that's how I judge my clients, is by the other clients that I have that are sustainable. So, thank you so much for confirming that in me today.
You're welcome.
Well, let everybody know the website, let everybody where they can go to follow you on social media.
Perfect. So I would love to connect with people via Facebook, and you can find me under Alicia Meneses Maples. If that's too long, just think Alicia Maples and look for a picture of a girl with curly hair. That will be me. And then my masterclass. So I'm just going to throw some really quick statistics out, because especially freelancers, you need to understand this. Customer reviews and testimonials can increase your conversions by 270%.
Wow.
270%.
Wow.
That statistic came from websitebuilder.org. Let me skip to another one. Are you ready for this? Customers are willing to spend 31% more with businesses who have positive reviews. So when you talked earlier about needing to convince somebody, no. 31% more people are willing to spend with businesses who have positive reviews. This is another topic that I'm very passionate about. It's something that I have helped my husband with in his brick and mortar business. Every week, we have customers who, without ever coming to see him, without even meeting him will drop $1,500 on the credit card payment over the phone. And the reason they do that is because his business, as of yesterday, has 452 five-star reviews.
Wow.
So what I am teaching for free in this masterclass is how to obtain and showcase testimonials and reviews that move people to action, not just, oh, Alicia is so nice or Christopher was so good. No, testimonials that will cause people to say, oh my goodness, I need to work with this person. Let me click the schedule now button. Let me click the pay now button. Let me submit my credit card. That is everything we're going to be discussing in the masterclass called Credibility That Converts. And that can be found, all the information for it can be found at BrilliantSMB, as in small to medium sized business, BrilliantSMB.com.
Fantastic. Alicia, thank you so much. There is a reason why you have been a featured TED Talk speaker about such things. There's a reason why you are so entirely popular in everything that you do and so have the reviews that you do from your clients. Your energy is absolutely infectious, and you do nothing but try to teach people how to value themselves, and what a beautiful thing to do in the world. Thank you so much for your time today. Thank you so much for everything that you do with Brilliant SMB. I am definitely going to be signing up for your Credibility That Converts course. Stop on by and check that out, folks. Please do hold the line, Alicia, while we close things out. While you're online checking things out at BrilliantSMB.com, make sure to stop on by the Talking Sound Podcast. Talking Sound Podcast is where you can find all the episodes. That's where you can also find the industry news section. That's where you can find our social media profiles. That's where you can find everything. Speaking of which, stop on by and join the Talking Sound Podcast group today and get some of the latest news in the industry. Check that out. That is Facebook, Talking Sound. Until next time, everybody, take care of yourselves, take care of your hearing, and remember, keep reaching for 11. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Talking Sound Podcast. For more episodes, industry news, and information, visit us online at TalkingSoundPodcast.com. Subscribe to the Talking Sound Podcast on Amazon Audible, Spotify, Spreaker, SoundCloud, iTunes, or your favorite podcast service. Get the latest Talking Sound videos on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, Reach TV, or your Roku or Amazon Fire device with the APR TV app. Talking Sound is a proud member of the HC Universal Network family of podcasts. For more great shows and content, subscribe to HCUniversalNetwork.com today. Until next time, watch those meters, gig safely, and keep reaching for 11.
This is Talking Sound.